promise, a masterpiece, a life. On January 22, 1973, a decision was made in our nation to legalize abortion at any stage for any reason. 49 years later, that decision was finally reversed. 49 years of prayer and perseverance. 49 years of being a voice for the unborn, proclaiming their humanity and their possibility. 49 years of striving to reach their moms and dads, proclaiming there's hope and a future. 49 years of waiting for life to be upheld in our nation. And here we are. This January is the first post-Roe in our nation. Roe versus Wade, as we know it, is no longer. As we grieve that loss of over 60 million lives and the devastating cost to their moms and dads, we give thanks for the lives that will be saved and protected from this date forward. Because of this decision, already thousands of moms have chosen life. The lives of thousands of children have been saved. They will celebrate a first birthday. They will experience their first day of kindergarten, their first best friend, their first home run, their first dance, their high school graduation, and so many things beyond. We celebrate this victory, and yet know there is much more to be done. There are still unexpected pregnancies. It is still a crisis. They still need hope and help. Our services are needed now more than ever. You can make a difference for life. You can pray. You can give. You can serve. Will you?
Father God, we just come before you so grateful for your work in our world. And though the darkness and the light can never mix, we thank you that the light overcomes the darkness. The darkness cannot comprehend it. And I pray, God, that we would be light in this world, light in this life, Lord. And I thank you so much, Lord, for Choices Clinic. And I thank you so much for the opportunity for our church since its inception, with even folks on that founding board in our church. Lord, just all the money that's been given, Lord, from our church, from these bottles, from our budget even, Lord. And we just ask that they would continue to be able to do the good work of pointing to life, pointing to that baby in that womb who is already has the DNA and is already life and it's already created in the image of God. And I thank you, Father, for our children today. And I ask, Lord, that as we continue in our series on guarding what's been entrusted to us, the treasure that's been entrusted to us, we thank you for how you've entrusted to us our children in our lives, in our families, and then, Father, in our church and our churches. And I ask, God, that you'd bless this message as we come to the end of the message, as we pray for our children and to pray for our youth and to pray for our children's ministries and nursery ministries, that you'd be glorified in our lives as a church that truly, truly guards the hearts and lives of children and their families and others in our body. Come, Lord, visit us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Again, as I just prayed, 2 Timothy 1:14, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. He said it before to Timothy in the first book of Timothy to guard what's been entrusted to you. And so we look at last week, looked at the many things that God's done through salvation and what he's entrusted us to. Last week, I had a half sheet available for you. It's they were almost all gone. It's just all the things that God has entrusted to us spiritually. It's on a really nice piece of paper to be framed. And so you can find that on the information desk if you've not found that yet.
And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, notice what he says. Psalmist says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. What does that say? I mean, listen, without God as the centerpiece of your life, centerpiece of your marriage, the centerpiece of your home, the centerpiece of our church, no matter what is happening with all the things that we're doing to protect, unless he's Lord, unless he's God, unless he guards the city, unless he does this work, we are all doing it in vain. We get our strength, our grace, our power from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we get it from. But yet, we must understand that unless he's building the house, unless he's building the house of your life, the house of your marriage, the house of your family, the house of our church, it's all in vain. It's God who does the work. It's God who initiates. It's God who speaks. And yet, we must respond. We must obey. It is vain for you to rise up early and to retire late and to eat the bread of painful labors because he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Now here it is. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. What does our scripture say today? Our scripture says that children are a gift. They're a reward. They're something to treasure, a gift that God has given. And you can find a whole lot of information in the world on how to treasure your children and how to guard them. But unless God's guarding, unless God's doing the work, you're going to do it in vain. Secondly, there's nothing in the world that you want to follow apart from Scripture in raising your children. The Word has it all. The Word teaches children, parents not to just teach it, so they're not just taught, but it's caught by a godly mom and a godly dad. A godly husband and a godly wife, a godly couple who not only just speaks truth and speaks life, they live it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. So that son and that daughter watches and sees what their parents are all about. And they know it. They've seen it. They know who you are. They know how you speak. They know how you love. They know how you hate. They know how you respond. They know all those things. They know. And sometimes they'll tell on you, right? God's little spies, right? Yeah, you've had that happen before. Oh, I got some stories about y'all. No, I'm only kidding. That your kids have said, and you want to hear them from Scott. No, I'm just teasing. We talk about them at staff. No, I'm only kidding. God's little spies. They know. I can't tell you how many people that I meet with on a regular basis who have problems and struggles. And a lot of times, not always, a lot of times, it was a disappointment in mom and dad or mom, one of the two. Disappointed. Childhood disappointments. And I think it's really important, especially for those of you that are at college that aren't married yet or have kids or not have kids yet, and then those with young children, this is so important. They catch it. More than you teach it. They look, they see. And he says, listen, these children, they're gifts from God. They're not a burden. And I hear it all the time. I hear all the time sometimes the grumbling, the complaining about my kids. And the Bible says, if the Bible says they're gifts and they're treasures, why would we ever grumble and complain about the gift that God has given to us in our kids' lives? They are gifts. Notice what he says. It's the fruit of the womb. Fruit of the womb. You know, it's interesting that in the beginning pages of history, we started with this clip. It's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that God created us in his image. So he created Adam and Eve in his image. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Have kids. Have little ones. And then he will move through the whole of Scripture, speaking of this salvation that was lost in the garden and how the enemy would come and try to destroy the seed of the woman. And yet Jesus would come to conquer the enemy. I'm telling you what, we're in an all-out war over our kids. And you see it all the time. And the question that I want to challenge us to, we'll see this a little bit more in a couple of minutes, but I challenge you to is to ask the question, what am I feeding my kids spiritually, emotionally? What are they seeing from my life? What am I allowing them to receive from the world through social media and through television and through these kinds of things that are going on right now? I mean, I haven't watched these things, but I just know looking back on even the cartoons I watch, ooh, that was a little adult. That's adult humor, right? And now your kid can turn on and can watch these whole programs about kids casting spells. And I think, would we ever want to really submit our children to that? To things of this life, to the things of this world? Listen, they're treasure. And he's saying, listen, guard what's been entrusted to you, the treasure that's been entrusted to you. And we're not talking about, I know we're all fallen and we go through these stages in life and these ups and downs. So I'm not talking about just this perfection, but I'm talking about a direction that we're feeding our children the principles of the kingdom and not the things of this world. And we got to guard it. We got to watch it. They are treasures. Matter of fact, think about it in this term. In God's eyes, our children, you and I and everybody else who's ever been born, we were treasured even before the womb, even before we were born. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 10, 4 through 10 is a really powerful passage about the call of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a youth when he was called. And he says it like this. He says, Jeremiah, before I knew you, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Even before he was formed in the womb, the scripture says from all eternity, he knew you. He knew who you are. He knew who you would be. It's so phenomenal to me that before I was born, the all-knowing God, the omniscient God, and here's Jeremiah hearing this, and he's just a teenager at this point, and he says, oh, Lord, alas, I don't know how to speak. I'm just a youth. And he says something really interesting. Don't say that. Don't you know what I just told you? I appointed you before you were even born. Get that into your soul about where we are in culture today. I knew you. I knew you. And I know those of you in the university, listen, culture doesn't believe this. They don't believe it. And you students that are in here, you're getting it. You're getting it all the time. And it's always being pushed, always, because the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he comes to kill your babies. He comes to destroy them. We've seen this attack all through history. I mean, what do you think happened when Moses is about to be born and Pharaoh decides to kill all the baby boys? Well, there's a seed coming. Or when Herod kills all the babies under two, all the little boys under two. There's something, there's a threat. Your children are to pose, our children are to pose a threat to the enemy. And he's not going to like it. Not going to like it. So I look at this passage of scripture of Jeremiah before you were formed. But what about in the womb? What about in the womb? Psalm 139, verse 13. Just a few pages forward, if you opened your Bibles, and it'll be on the screen here in just a moment. Psalm 139 talks about the omnipotence of God, the God who knows all things, and he's everywhere. And notice what he says in verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. And I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. And my soul, it knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were all the days written that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with you. Fearfully and wonderfully made, crafted by God. No mistake here. And no matter how that happens, no matter how that takes place, this great God knew these children. He knows you before the foundation of the world, and he formed you, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. But we live in a society today that says, God, I look in the mirror and I say, thanks a lot, God. Thanks a lot. Look how you created me. Instead of looking in the mirror and God hearing God say, I don't look at man and women as men and women do. I look at the heart. I look at the heart. Fearfully and wonderfully made in the womb. It's a wonderful thought. It's a wonderful thing. I think about the worth of babies. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you've established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Matthew 20:15, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he'd done and the children who were crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. And he said to them, do you hear what these kids are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never heard or read out of the Psalms, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praises for yourself. If you and I were created to glorify God, you were created before the womb. I mean, you were known before you were formed in the womb. And God formed you to glorify this great God, to speak of him and to give witness. And the Bible says, listen, you can already hear it from babies. And you can already hear it from infants. Folks that are young in the faith and young, giving praise and giving thanksgiving to this great God. And if your children are being raised, if your children happen to be in Sunday school here or church, they're hearing it. If they're over in the square, they're hearing the word. And sometimes you hear things from your children that you say, how in the world did they get that right? And if you raise them in church and they're little bitty and you teach them how to love church and love the church, I'm convinced they'll never depart from it. I'm convinced. This is our responsibility. This is the treasure of our children. And the question that I want to ask is, how do we treasure what's been entrusted to us? How do we do that? How do we continue to do that? And I know we're trying to do, we're doing the very best that we can. But I think the very first thing that we need to understand is that we need to live with the conviction that our children have purposes, not just in this life, but in this life for the kingdom of God. If you believe that when you come to Christ, that the Spirit of God comes into you to dwell and live, he also comes giving gifts. And he gives the gifts of the Spirit. And the Spirit's gifts come upon you to do what? To use them for the glory of God. To use them in this life. To use them in the church. To use them in society. And so every single person that's ever come to Jesus has gifts and callings in their lives to be used for the glory of God. Have you been taught that? Do you believe that? Do you live that? Have you taught and are you teaching your children that they're special, that they're created in the image of God to reflect the image? And oh, by the way, when you give your heart to Jesus, you have what you need to see that followed through where God comes and does this work in your kids' lives. And so I want to just say this. Do we live with the conviction that our children have purposes, not just for this life, but this life for the kingdom of God? And I love the piece in Luke chapter 1, when John the Baptist is proclaimed to come, that the angel appears to Zacharias, and he makes this promise to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And I want you to notice this really. We're going to kind of zip through it. Notice what he says. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, that's Zacharias, standing to the right of the altar of the incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. Now watch, you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And you'll be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. And it is he who goeth to as a forerunner before him in the Spirit. Spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know what Jesus said about this man, John the Baptist? That's not even conceived yet. Isn't that interesting? Before I formed you, I knew you. And then I formed you in the womb for a purpose. And Zacharias is hearing this, but you know what Jesus said about John the Baptist? Among those who have been born among women, he's great. But there's no, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. I think, you don't mean it. You don't mean that. The least in the kingdom is greater than John? What does that say about you? What does that say about your life, about your babies, your children? There's been no other greater, but those who are least are greater than him. I see purpose. I see hope. I see this awesome thought that my child will be raised for the glory of God to make an impact on the kingdom of God. To make an impact on the kingdom of God. Notice some of the things that he says about children, this child. He's great in the sight of God. He's filled with and dependent on the Holy Spirit. And that's what I love about this is, listen, he's not going to need any other stimulant in this life, whether it's liquor or whatever else it is. He will not need any of that. He'll be dependent upon the Holy Spirit of the living God. Dependent on him and him alone. And so he'll be great in God's sight, and then he'll be filled with and dependent on the Holy Spirit, and then he'll be a child that will possess vision for ministry. Notice what he'll do. He'll bring repentance. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever led someone to the Lord? Have you ever led someone to the Lord? question is are we raising our children to lead people to the Lord? Yeah, well, you might say, well, I that's not my job. That's your job. That's what I pay you for. Oh. I said it last week. I'm not your hired holy man. We're all called in different form, different fashion, to be a part of the kingdom of God, to reach people for Jesus, so that they may be transferred out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the vision God has for our children. Do you have that kind of vision for your children? It's a ministry that will bring hearts, prepare hearts for Jesus, ministries that will build the family. He actually quotes Malachi 4, that when the forerunner comes, he's going to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the hearts of the fathers. He said, this is the kind of ministry that I want him to walk in and that he will walk in. And then ministries that exalt Christ, bringing great joy. And I want to know, folks, do we have that kind of vision for our children today? So when my children are long gone, we didn't come to Jesus till late. They were already gone before we came to Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. As long as your children are alive and you're alive, you have such great potential to see God move in mighty ways. And will I believe that today? Well, I believe what God says about John. It's interesting to me because when you think about what happens next, as the angel comes to Mary and says, hey, you know, I just went to Elizabeth and Zacharias and made them this promise that they're going to have a baby in their old age. And now I'm coming to you to tell you you're going to have a baby in your virginity. It's going to be an absolute total impossibility, but I'm going to do it. And John's going to be the forerunner, and you're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to save their people from their sins. And man, when she hears it and the conception happens, she runs to Elizabeth's house. And when she comes, watch this, when she comes into the room and greets, Elizabeth is overcome with the Spirit of God and says, oh, how can the mother of my Lord come to me? Because when you came in and your voice heard my ears heard your voice, my child, who's going to name John, a six-month baby in the womb, leaps for joy for a 1 or 2 week baby in the womb. Do you see it, folks? Do you see what our society and world's been killing? They've been killing babies. Six months in the womb. And I don't want to talk a whole lot about it because you can Google it and you'll look about all the ways they've killed babies in the womb. One of them is partial birth, where the baby's head comes out. They kill it. And I've said this from the pulpit, and I'll say it again. Until we get that right, we'll not get anything right. Nothing right in our culture, in our government, to get this right, because we're killing babies that, according to Scripture, have the ability to rejoice in the womb. Amen. Six-month-old baby in the womb celebrates a 1 week, maybe 2 days. I don't know how long it took her to get to Elizabeth, but once she walks in, and that baby starts jumping, John is a six-month-old baby in the womb, ready to declare the glory of Messiah. So when you hold your babies, or when you see that baby on the sonogram, and you see that, remember this. This is about children growing up to change the world and give witness to our God. And the question is, am I going to believe that today? And am I going to believe it, and then am I going to follow it up? Follow it up with living my life for Jesus, because that's what I want my children to do. And being filled with the Spirit, because that's what I want my children to do. So that I'm walking the Word, I'm learning the Word of God. The Bible says how we're to raise our children. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, a very powerful passage of scripture on the family where he says, for children to obey your father and your mother in the Lord, for this is right. He says it's the first commandment with a promise that you may live long on the earth and it may go well with you. And then he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them in the fear and instruction of the Lord. Powerful piece. We raise them in the fear and instruction of God. So we teach them the word. Passage like Deuteronomy chapter 6. And these words which I'm commanding today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your forehead. And folks, I just want to say this because we teach them the word and we teach them to love what Jesus loves. And the question I got to ask myself, and I ask you today as your pastor and your friend, do you love what Jesus loves? And do your kids see that? All along where I'm not provoking them to anger, when I'm raising them in the fear and instruction of the Lord. And then third, we become the church who love our families, who love our children, our people, to the places God wants them to be. And I want to just stop here, and because I am out of time, and your kids are in the foyer. And so, Scott, if you're out there, I want you to bring your children up front, or their children up front. Are you there? You're supposed to be listening. And if you've got children in here, would love them to come up forward as well. Hey, y'all come up this way. Come on up. Hey, so all children, hey, I want youth up here too. Youth, come on up. Come on up. Yeah. You know, hey, I just had a vision for this. I don't know how it's going to work, okay? Yeah, y'all just come on up. Hey. Hey. Yeah, y'all come on up. Awesome. Yeah. Scott, could you get the mic? Hey, children of Cottonwood and friends of Cottonwood. Amen. Amen. One of the things the psalmist said in Psalm 127 was that children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Years ago, I read the story of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot came to the Lord at a young age, was called to the mission field, and he was such a witness in his school. He was such a witness in all that he did. But he's going to the mission field, and his parents were committed Christians, and they didn't want him to go to the mission field. They would say to him, you don't want to go to the mission field? He said, you're so talented that you could do that. You could send more people to the mission field by living it out here in the States. And so he makes the decision to go to South America. And I want you to listen to this piece. It's in a letter to his parents. I do not wonder that you were saddened at the word of my going to South America. This is nothing else than what the Lord Jesus warned us of when he told his disciple they must become so infatuated with the kingdom and following him that all other allegiances must become as though they were not. And he never excluded the family tie. In fact, those loves which we regard as closest, he told us must become as hate in comparison with our desires to uphold his cause. Grieve not then if your son seem to desert you, but rejoice rather seeing the will of God done gladly. Remember how the psalmist described children? He said that they were as an heritage from the Lord, that every man should be happy who had his quiver full of them. And what is a quiver full of? But arrows. And what are arrows for? But to shoot. So with the strong arms of prayer, draw the bowstring back and let the arrows fly, all of them, straight at the enemy's host. Yes, what a powerful thought. And so I wanted just to give you a look at where your children are on a Sunday morning. We have Karen Soans. Karen, where are you? Right here. Karen is in the nursery holding babies. Yeah. Her workers that are just so faithful, just raise your hands. Just if you work in the nursery, if you work in the house, raise your hands. Yeah, yeah. Our youth, where's Chance? Chance is right here. Okay. Our children, Scott, also college, David, and then high school. Where's Braden? Braden, are you up here? You're up there. Okay. I just want to tell you, I believe this with all my heart. What you hear here, they might not be hearing the same exact thing, but they're hearing what you hear in here. And they're teaching your children the very principles that we teach right here from the pulpit. To love God, to love neighbor, to love one another. To deal with sin, to deal with the stuff, to be obedient to parents. It's what you're teaching. It's the commitment. And so what I want us to do is, Scott, I want you to pray for your kids. And then, Chance, would you come up and take that and pray? And then...
Let's pray. Lord, what a great image of your heritage. And I just want to declare, God, before us stands absolutely unlimited potential for the kingdom of God. And I want to ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would anoint these children in a way that they would hear your voice, that they would desire to be obedient to your voice. And I just want to declare, Lord, this is the church. This is the church and the future of the church. And so, Lord, thank you so much for these kids. Thank you so much for the families that they represent. And I just want to ask, Lord, that you would also empower the parents to parent the way they need to parent, to draw these children closer to the kingdom. I want to pray, God, that love would be the primary motivation. I want to ask, Lord, that you would do damage to the kingdom of darkness because of the light that's within these children. Lord, bless the babies, bless the toddlers, bless the kindergartners, and bless all the way up the first graders and second graders, third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders. God, we ask that you would bless them because, Lord, they have within them, if they have you, they have everything that they need within them. And so we want to thank you so much for the work that you do.
Father, for the junior high, high school, and the big kids, the college kids, Lord, would you absolutely train and equip them to do the work of the ministry. God, to be raised up and released just like that arrow, to go straight at the host, straight at the enemy, so that they would be able to storm the gates of hell with a water pistol because they are filled by your Spirit. With your grace, blessed by your mercy, covered by your blood, Lord, would you anoint them, empower them, call them, equip them, and send them. And God, as the church of the living God, would we be so involved in that process of discipling, mentoring, training, sending, and repeating over and over, so that the ages to come, the enemy might be weakened, and your kingdom might be expanded, and you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, I pray this over our children, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Here's a thought. when I'm raising my children, I'm not thinking about when I grow old to 80, 90 years old and what they'll be. But I'm thinking generation after generation after generation. The seeds that are planted in these days have such great potential to reach the next several generations for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's stand together. And I don't know how we're going to do this, but don't go to the square because your kids are here, right?
Yeah,
okay.
I,
and so